Let's open with a word of prayer. And we're going to jump right in this morning so I can give you plenty of time for your small group. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask you this morning to bless us as we gather together to study your word. As always, we ask you to just settle us in the busyness of our day. We've gotten up, we've had details, and so, Father, help us just to settle in our hearts. Give us attentive hearts, hearts to hear your word this morning. This is such a good word for us today. And I pray that you will speak very personally to us. I pray that you will just cause us to have hearts stirred up, to want to follow you closely, to be women who are obedient, who follow you with all of our heart. We want to shine in our worlds. We want to be salt in our world. And this morning, Father, we pray for our world, especially for our little part of the world here in Brookhaven. God, we pray for revival among our churches here in Lincoln County. We ask you, Father, to empower all our precious pastors as they stand in their pulpits this morning proclaiming the gospel. And we just pray that you will take their message. May it land on good soil. I just pray your blessing on every home, every family. And I pray that you will just speak to us this morning very personally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome back. This morning we're going to finish chapter 4. And today is part 2 of our lesson last week. So get out your handout, and I also have a copy of the scripture we're going to be going over this morning. Now, our subject that we started last week and that we're going to finish up this morning is the theme, perfect love. And so this is in verses 7 through 21. Love is actually one of John's very favorite subjects. In fact, he is known as the Apostle of Love. And so we said about this little book, this little letter, it cycles. And so this is going to be the third time that he has talked about love in this letter. But every time he cycles back around to it, he adds deeper and richer insights. So let's begin with just a quick review to put us into our lesson of what we saw last week. Now, look at verse 7. We're going to start out with the command. And it says there, "Beloved, let us love one another." Beloved, this is a command given to the beloved. This is the command given to Christians. This is a command for us this morning. Beloved sisters, let us love each other. That's our challenge. Let's talk about that word love for just a minute. Write this down. It means a love that is complete or whole. That's one thing. Another insight about this kind of perfect love is that it is a love that cannot be improved upon. It cannot be added to. And the main thing I want you to see is that it is a love that originates with, that comes from God. There's no other resource. You can't find this kind of love in the earth. This is a love that is coming directly to us from God. And the Greek word is actually a rare Greek word. It's the word agape, A-G-A-P-E. It's a rare word, not used a lot in the Greek, but when you come to the New Testament, it's a very popular word. And it's used over and over again, the word agape. It says God love. Write this down. It is the love of the will. This is a love of choice. It is a love that you make decisions about. And And it is also a law, write this down, that is self-sacrificing. Self-sacrificing. It's sacrificial. Now, it's a love that is not a feeling. It is an action. So write that down. It's actually a verb in the Greek. It's something you do. It's an action word. Now, I just want to give you, there are four Greek words in the Greek language for the word love. And this word is, like I said, it's the rare one. It's agape. It's God love. But then there's another one that's friendship love. So write that down. That's the love you have for just people in general, your friends. And there's the Greek word out to the side. And then there's another kind of love, a love that is romantic. That's the Greek word eros. And then there is another Greek word, storge, and that is the word that speaks of family love. The love that children share with their parents. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about any of those three Greek words here. In this part, when we talk about the word perfect love, we're talking about agape. It's the kind of love that is extended toward those who have needs, especially those who are the family of God. It's a different kind of love than the world offers. It is the testimony of Christians. And we saw last week, I didn't put it on your handout this week, but in Romans 5, we find out that this love, this agape love, is given to us when we're saved. It is shed abroad in our lives because the Holy Spirit is there. You see, when you were saved and the Holy Spirit moved in, He brought with Him His fruit. And the very first one is love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Now, you don't have to pray, God, give me love. That's not praying correctly. Why? Has God already given you love? He has. Now, you might want to say this in your prayer. God, would you grow love big in me? Or you might want to say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because if I'm full of the Holy Spirit, if I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, all of that fruit is going to be on display in my life supernaturally. This kind of love is only a love that belongs to Christians. Now, three times we're commanded to love. I want to show them to you. Look at your scripture page. We see it in verse 7 where it says, brethren, love one another. And then look at verse 11. You find it again. If God so loved us, it says, we ought to love one another. And then look again in verse 21. And this commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Now, last week we started by looking at the reasons why we are to love this way. Teresa, why am I supposed to manifest agape love to the world? And that's what we're answering. So here's the first one that we went over last week. And let's just fill in the blank. It says this, because God is love and God is in us. Look at verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You see, we said this last week. God, by His very nature, is love. It's not that God loves. It's more than that. We said this. It's this. God is love. That's who God is. He is the very definition of love. And because God loves us, and because God is now in me, I'm born again, then it only makes sense that I am to love others because he's in me. It's the very essence of who he is. He and I share life, and he is love, and it's really just that simple. He's in me, and love is to come out. Here's the second reason we saw last week. Because we have seen the love of God manifest in Jesus. He's our example. Look at verse 9. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, we spent a lot of time on that last week. Let me just touch on it very briefly. How am I to love? What does it look like, Teresa? All right, you said the love of God is shed abroad in me, but what exactly does that look like? Can you tell me? Well, yes, I can. Just look at Jesus. Understand his laying down his life in a sacrificial way on the cross. You see, when I stand at the cross and I consider the love of God that is on display in the cross, I cannot go back to living in a selfish way. And if God so loved us, we ought to love each other. If God so loved his Son enough to send him for us, if the Son loved us enough to go and lay down his life to redeem us, then certainly you and I ought to love as God is calling us to love. It just makes sense. There on that cross, Jesus is giving us the supreme example of love in the most glorious terms possible. You can't say it any better than 1 John 2:6, and we've already seen this in our study, but I put it on your handout. Let's read it together. If you say you abide in him, then you ought to walk the way he walked. And how did he walk? He laid down his life for others. He walked among men in a very sacrificial way. He's given us such an incredible example. And now for this morning, let's pick up number 3. Our third reason. Love for one another is our testimony to the world. Why should I love this way, Teresa? Because it's your testimony. That's your testimony. Look at verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. You see, when believers love each other, the unseen, invisible God becomes visible to everyone around us. They see God in us. How do they see him? Through our love. Love is your testimony. We have a problem in evangelism in our ministry of declaring God to people who cannot see him. You see, our problem is trying to convince people that an invisible God really does exist. How are others going to know? How are others going to see the invisible God? Well, John answers this question. Others are going to see God in you when you love others. The world sees the invisible God in the love of the church. And when you and I are loving each other, we are putting God on display. Let's go to our fourth reason. Love is the assurance of our salvation. Now, this brings us to verses 13 through 16. And he's going to build a little case here that's going to help us know if we are truly saved. Let's write this down. We know we are in him and he is in us. In other words, I know I'm saved, number one, because he has given me his Spirit. Now go to verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us How do I know, Teresa? Well, it's because he's given me his Spirit. Well, wait just a minute. That's a tough answer. I cannot see the Holy Spirit. Can you? John, in his Gospel of John, says, you know, to Nicodemus, the Spirit, Holy Spirit's like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from. You feel it, but you don't know where it's coming from. You see it moving. Well, let's just keep reading. He's going to help us. Verse 14, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Now, I want you to reason with me this morning. Study your Bible together with me. And we're going to answer this question. How do we know we have the Holy Spirit? I can't see. I don't want to depend on feeling. How do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Well, it's not because I've heard a voice. Here's how you know you have been given the Spirit. It's very simply this. It's because you believe the gospel. That's the answer. You believe the gospel. You believe that God sent Jesus into the world to be the Savior of the world. You not only believe it, you come to the point where you have confessed it. You've bowed your knee. You've acknowledged him. You've done it publicly. You've been baptized. Did you realize that apart from the Holy Spirit, you would not be able to believe the gospel? That's the truth. That's what God's word says. Because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, Corinthians tells us. It's foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because that is something that is spiritually discerned. Before you came to Christ, Ephesians says you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Can a dead person perceive anything? Can they? Just try talking to a dead person. They will never answer you. It also says you were blind. You could not see. You had no capacity in your flesh to understand the gospel until the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit convicted you. And the Holy Spirit opened your eyes to see your need to understand the gospel. How do I know that the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residency in me? It's because I believe what can only be believed if it is revealed by God through his Holy Spirit. Now, can I just ask you this morning, sisters, do you believe the gospel? Do you believe all of the gospel, all of the elements of the gospel? That is evidence that the Spirit of God is in you. And that isn't all. Now it comes to really the point in verse 16. Look at it with me. Verse 16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. And this is what I want you to write down as a second evidence. It's this. You've come to understand in your life the eternal love of God. Not only do you believe the gospel, but you understand that God loves you with an eternal love. Now look at 16b. There, it says, God is love. You see, that's the very reason why God sent Jesus. It's all out of his love. So verse 16 says, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now, when I say God abides in me, who am I talking about? The Holy Spirit. I have to understand the Trinity. There's God the Father. Where is he right now? Seated on his throne in heaven. There's Jesus, his Son. Where is he right now? He's seated next at the right hand of God. And then there's the Holy Spirit. And where is he? He's in us on this earth. And so the test that I ask myself is, how do I know I'm a Christian? I know because I have the Holy Spirit. How do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Because I understand and I believe the gospel in all of its fullness. And I understand that God did this out of love because he is love. And if I'm his, I'm to be characterized by love too. Now, I want to say I don't always do it perfectly. Do you? I don't always love like I wish I would. But do you remember us saying it's the direction, not perfection? Do you look in your life and do you see that your life is the direction, a desire in your life to walk in the love of God? You see, love is our testimony, and love is also the assurance of our salvation. Let's go to number 5. Another reason is this, because love is our confidence in judgment. This one is so good. Go to verse 17. By this love is perfected in us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. And so when we are saved, we just said this, the Holy Spirit came. He opened my eyes. He convicted me that I was a sinner. He showed me and gave me a gift of faith to believe the gospel. He did his work in my heart. He saved me, and we are saved, and God comes. He takes up residence in our lives. And when he does, the love of God is flooded in our hearts. And when this happens in our lives, the result is this. I do not fear judgment. I do not fear death. I can live my life without fear. In fact, I can live my life with a boldness and with a confidence because I know God. It's such a wonderful thing. Go to the end of verse 17. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. Now, what in the world does that mean? It means this. Listen. Just as he is, Jesus, just as Jesus was in the world, so am I in the world. I'm his. And his, think about his love and his favor that was upon Jesus as Jesus moved about in this world. Well, just as he is, look, so are we. Isn't that good to think about? Isn't that, y'all, is the Bible true? Is the Bible true? It's true. God's favor rests on you this morning. Be encouraged. God's love rests on you. That means that God is going to treat me the very same way he treated Jesus. How incredible is it that I can actually go to the judgment? I can stand there as confident as if I were Jesus. Because in reality, I'm covered with the very righteousness of Christ. I was placed in Christ in salvation. Oh, it's so good. Ladies, that's the gospel. That's the gospel this morning. You're righteous in him. There is no fear for you in judgment or death. You're going to pass. In fact, you're never going to die. You're just going to go to sleep and wake up with Jesus. It's amazing. Verse 18 explains it further. In God's word, sweet. Look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. You see, because he first loved us, I don't fear his second coming. I don't fear the coming of the rapture. I'm longing for it. I cannot wait. I'm going to say what John said, this same writer, said in Revelation. He said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come quickly. That's what he said. I feel the same way. Paul said, you are to love his appearing. Do you love the appearing of Christ? There is no fear for Christians. God's will is for us to live in love and confidence and boldness and have great hope for our future with no fear. Now, what have we seen this morning? Let's just review. We're to love one another with this perfected kind of love. We're to love because love is of God and God lives in us. We're to love this way because love is manifested by our example, Jesus. He set the example. And if we love him and if he is ours, then we ought to walk the way he walked, John said. And we're to love like this because you know what? It's our testimony to the world. It shows the people around me that I'm really born again. And we are to love this way because love is the assurance that we're really saved. It proves that the Holy Spirit came and woke us up and opened our eyes to the Gospels. And we're to love because love is our confidence and our boldness for the future. True Christians have no fear of the Lord's return. And finally, there's one more. Let's put this one down. I like this one. We're to love because love is only reasonable. I just love practical things. I mean, it's only reasonable that we love this way because look at verse 19. It says, we love because he first loved us. And it all just comes down to this. If you love this way, with this perfect kind of love that I've been talking about this morning, it's only because God first loved you. You didn't have this love. And then look at verse 20. This is the seventh time in our book that John has said, if someone says, let's see what he says here. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a what? A liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So you claim you love the invisible God? You can't claim that and not love the God that is in his people. You're going to have to love those people. It's only reasonable then to say true believers are characterized by loving the way God loves, sacrificially and selfishly. And then John closes with a command, just as he began with a command. Let's read it. And this commandment we have from him, John says, this is a commandment from God. It's not from me. This is God speaking here. And what does he say? That the one who loves God would love his brother also. Perfect love is the mark of a true believer. Now, I put some other things down. And I forgot to make notes. Let's fill in these. I pulled these out of our book, and I just thought they were so good. Just kind of some takeaways from today. Do y'all ever have things like that happen? Hold on, I'm going to find it. Here's some takeaways. Number one, love is commanded. Number two, love is already possessed by Christians. You don't have to go out and find it. Where is it? It's in you. You got to learn to draw from what's already in you. Number three, love is the norm for Christian living. It should just be your everyday way you live. Number four, love is the work of the Spirit. Once again, don't work for it. Just learn to draw on who is in you. Number five, love must be practiced to be genuine. And then number six, it is impossible to love this way if we stray from the source of love. I don't remember exactly how to put that there. But if we move away from God, we move away from the source. And it is a love that demands something of us. It's a giving thing. It is concerned with giving rather than receiving. And then I like he said this in our book. It's actually very rare. It's rare. Think of the most loving person you know. I've been praying all week about this. Lord, make me more loving. I want more of the Spirit expressing itself through me. It means I'm going to have to be intentional. I'm going to have to be about others. I don't know what all it means, but I want it to grow in my life. Do you? Do we want our testimony of our church to grow? We're going to have to be loving. Very loving. I look out, you all are so loving. Every one of you. But I pray God would increase it in us. Amen. All right, let's get in our small groups, discuss our questions. We're going to finish the rest of that chapter, and I've put your questions on your page there. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, thank you for this wonderful time around the Word of Life this morning. And we just pray that it's been planted in our hearts, that it would bear much fruit. And I pray, God, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we might be women who love in a huge way. And we just ask you to give us great testimonies in our world that you are God. And I pray that people will taste you through our lives. Now we just pray for our service as we go into it this morning, that you will bless, that you will speak. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. Happy Thanksgiving.